Oh, that sounds promising. Michael?
Dalton? You
worked.
Can hear me.
It's incredible, dude. Oh, man.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
I wonder how that, like, recorded the audio.
I don't know if it got me at all, but, like, because I could hear you guys the whole time. Like, Dalton, you popped in first, and I kept saying, Dalton, can you hear me? And then Chris showed up, and then Chris started talking. Hello, Chris.
Well, we fucking roasted you, buddy.
I heard. And so
do you feel charred?
Well, so here's the thing. I didn't, like, I was half listening because I was scrambling around my room, grabbing different sets of headphones, plugging them in, like, trying to get things working, and nothing was working. And so I heard something about my curls and being a cherub. I heard something about my skating ability. And then I heard something about Switzerland. I don't know how that was related.
It's the 21st best country in the world.
You would think that we were comparing your level of hockey play to that of Switzerland, but no, that wasn't what it was.
You know what? I'll take being compared to Switzerland.
Yeah, that's where Nico Hischier is from.
That's the problem.
Oh, damn. All right, boys. Well, Chris, I know you have a bit of a hard stop, so it's gonna be a speedy episode. We're gonna fly through it. So to the games of last week. First game was the matinee of Winnipeg versus the Anaheim Ducks. Actually, first off, congratulations to Chris. You won last week with a score of 2-1-1.
Oh.
So, Chris, you are now tied with Dalton at 4, and I'm still sitting way behind at 2.
Well, you're American, so that's all. It's okay.
That is true. It's not like he's Swiss or something.
Yeah. He wishes.
So, Chris, this was a 9-3 Jets win over the Ducks, which was just so much fun to watch.
What a freaking week.
And I believe this was Roslovic had a hat trick?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, I mean, Roslovic's been a bit of a nice story this season. You feeling happy with him?
I mean, considering he is part of the Kane and Bogosian to Buffalo. Somebody brought up that trade in my chat forum today, saying that the trade actually was looking better for Buffalo because Bogosian had been healthy and Kane scored 24 goals so far this year for the Sharks. But I quickly dismantled that argument, considering that they lost Kane to unrestricted free agency last year and Bogosian was hurt for this game. But aside of that, I mean, you look at the two key players that the Jets still own from that trade, and it's Jack Roslovic, which was actually a pick that we picked, and then Brendan Lemieux, who's really started to play well for the Jets.
Yeah, I agree, actually. There was a few games against the Predators, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, that he looked really good in. So, yeah, Lemieux's definitely started to pick it up a bit.
It's funny, is his career track is looking a lot like his dad's, and I know that's big shoes to fill, but his dad started in the league pretty much the same way Brendan did. He was bounced back and forth between the minors and the NHL, and he spent a lot of time on the fourth line, and he just found a way to, like, just get more and more responsibility, and obviously ended up being, someone who won cups with, I think he won cups with, do you guys know how many different teams?
Well, we can Google it. Yeah. What was it? Who was his dad?
Claude Lemieux. But also just look up Mario Lemieux too, because it's fun.
Because it could be Mario.
It's uncle. Could be.
Exactly. Oh, wait. Claude Lemieux. He won. Drafted in 1983 to the Montreal Canadiens. He played with them for 7 years, winning a Stanley Cup with the team in 1986. Then he was traded to New Jersey. He won his second Stanley Cup in 1995. He won the Conn Smythe that year in 1995 as playoff MVP. And then he won a Stanley Cup with the Avs the next year in 1996. So, and then he won a fourth Stanley Cup with the Devils again in 2000. So that is four Stanley Cups. Two with the Devils, one with the Avs, and one with the Canadiens.
pretty impressive, right? For a guy who had to earn his way onto the roster. But I'm not saying that, you know, Brendan Lemieux will ever be that, but he's following that career track. So that's pretty interesting.
Yep. So then the Oilers follow up a Saturday heartbreaking overtime loss to the Flyers with a Sunday heartbreaking overtime loss to the Habs.
Yeah, that entire weekend kind of sucked, eh?
Well, I would say, you know, the whole week sucked.
Yeah, those two weekend games, like, the Oilers played, I thought they were decent in those games. Not too bad, actually. Like, yeah. For both of them, I think they played 40 solid minutes of hockey, and then the third period kind of got away from them.
Well, and Draisaitl's freaking on fire right now.
Yeah, he's playing well.
This is that the Western Conference is a tire fire.
Yeah, I agree. We'll get to that a bit later. So, I mean, another heartbreaking loss. I mean, Dalton, Christy, I mean, is there anything you guys want to say about the loss to the Habs?
I'll say the Oilers make me depressed.
The Habs are playing well. And Price was obviously the goalie in that game, and Price has been standing on his head. So I don't think it was, you know, the worst thing.
Yeah. Then the Jets lose in overtime 3-2 to the Sharks, and I believe the overtime winner was shorthanded.
Oh, my God. I don't know, man. I'll tell you, the Jets were playing really well. Obviously, they destroyed the Ducks in that game against the Sharks. But then, like, I think, like, halfway through the third period, I feel like they all got the flu because they just stopped skating. I don't know if you guys overtime, but it was a series of, like, stupid plays and not moving their feet. Like, they were just asking to get scored on. And that's what ended up happening.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, though, you guys got a point against a pretty solid Western Division team. I mean, I feel like this was actually a game that Hellebuck played pretty decent in.
Yeah, he was really good.
And I felt like he's been decent all week. Unfortunately, and we'll get there, he hasn't exactly had the run support, which is kind of interesting considering the role he's been playing this season. So they lose to the Sharks. Next game was, oh yes, the Oilers lose. Did I even have it written down? Well, the Oilers lose. Oh yeah, they do. 6-2 to the Hawks. This was another game for the third game in a row. We went into the third period with a one-goal lead, and we collapsed. I believe there was five third-period goals. Cam Talbot was pulled.
Three goals in 2 minutes.
Drake Cajula scored.
Yeah, that was one of the games where I just had her up on the other monitor while I was doing something else. And I'm kind of glad I did, because it was really nice to not have to pay attention to that game in the third period, because it was awful.
Yeah, it was not a good game. This was another one that really cued the Oilers Twitter meltdown.
It was
just a gross game. I mean, enough said.
It is nice to see Klefbom back.
Though there were a few times in it that, honestly, I mean, all five goals, there were a few plays that I'm just sitting there looking like, what is, like, Darnell Nurse and the Chris Russell pairing has been getting just obliterated.
The issue is, what do you do with that instead?
Like, I don't know.
Hope and pray that Sekera comes back a beast? Probably.
Yeah, but I mean, how much of a beast is the man going to be coming back? He's played like four whole games in two seasons.
Yeah, well, he's apparently played pretty decently his first conditioning stint game down in Bakersfield. So,
you know what? I would hope that, you know, the seasoned NHL veteran of Andre Sekera would play well in Bakersfield.
I mean, you'd hope, but also it's been, like you said, he's played like four games of hockey in the last 2 years.
All right, moving on before I get too much more depressed. The Jets lose to the Habs 5-2, and I believe that the Jets and the Habs were tied, Chris, until the third period, and that's when the Canadians started to pull away there.
Yeah, but the Jets sucked ass the entire game. They had two shots against.
Yeah, this was one where Hellebuck played great. He just got no support in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. No arguments there.
he had that one highlight reel save. I don't know if, I mean, Chris, you probably saw it, but I don't know if Dalton, if you saw it, where like it was a cross crease and it, like, stuck underneath his pad, like as he like came across.
Ooh, close one, close one.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, the Canadians are playing fantastic hockey right now. They're playing fast. And then the nice thing is they also have Carey Price back there that they can also allow a few grade A chances a night. He's going to shut it down.
Yeah. Like they've such a quick turnaround on their team from turning it in from their Habs that they had a couple seasons ago to this. Yeah. This fast new skill team.
It's really nice to see. I think that it's just like a combination of everything kind of working out. Like you look right. We've talked about this in previous episodes, but like, watching that, like everyone saw the Domi trade and was like, I mean, I guess, but like, who knew he was going to be this good and him and Domi were going to work out so well. The Tatar for Pacioretty trade. I mean, I guess, who knew Tatar was going to be this good? Kotkaniemi. Who knew this kid was going to be that good?
Oh, remember when they were getting just flamed at the draft for not picking Phillips Zadina?
Yeah, there was like the fans in the crowd that were like screaming, like losing their minds. And now Kotkaniemi looks like the best center they've had in the last 6 years.
Yeah. An actual NHL ready player straight out of the draft too, which is really promising for them.
And yeah, he's looked good. They're like, even in the game against the Oilers, like he was one of the most, like, other than Domi and Drouin, who were like really obvious when they were on the ice, Kotkaniemi was their next best player.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me of Nuge a little bit in the way he plays.
Yeah, a little bit, but I feel like Nuge puts up numbers, but like he doesn't really have like a flair for offense. You know what I'm saying? Like the offense he does score are gonna be like on rebounds. He's not really gonna have like highlight real goals. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But not like, since his rookie season, at least.
Right. Or the one shorthanded goal against the Capitals this season. But like, it also might help that he is young. He might let Kotkaniemi's young. Because he's just got all the energy out there or whatever, but like he's definitely got a lot of talent and like offensive flair when he's in the offensive zone, the puck's on his stick. You saw it in the highlight reel goal, I think against the Panthers, where he toe dragged Reimer to next week.
Oh,
yeah. All right, moving on. Then the Oilers, after losing, I think, 6 in a row, they beat the Wild 4-1, and that was a real feel good win. A little bit of depth scoring, some good saves. Maya was not happy with the Wild loss, considering that's one of her new favorite teams.
Oh, well, you know, there's nothing like being introduced to a new team with a loss. I mean,
wait, you're still brothers...
sorry, go ahead, yeah, Chris.
I said, wait, you're still dating her?
Yes, I'm still dating her, Chris.
Wow. I don't know what more disappointed in.
So, I mean, obviously breaking a 6-game winning streak against a other team that's pushing for a playoff spot, kind of keeping us in it, real good. Next game, the Jets then lose again to the Ottawa Senators, also 5-2. And Brassois was in net for this one. Chris, you were a bit upset after this game.
Well, I was upset after the previous game, too. I'm upset after every loss. Hell, I'm upset after some wins. Brassois was terrible. I'm not mad, though, because Brassois has been excellent for us this year. And if you expect your goalie to be great every single game, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I agree. You could also tell that in this game, I actually caught quite a big chunk of this game, like actually watching it. That once Brassois kind of let in those first two softies, every shot coming at him the rest of the game, he was just not confident with at all.
No.
And you could tell that in, like, with the Oilers, obviously, like, he'd play really well the whole game, but then as soon as he let a soft one in, every single shot towards him, everyone was holding their breath because they just didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, you start really not controlling his rebounds very well. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like he's making panic saves out there.
Yeah, yeah. Every save he does make is like the rebound isn't directed well. It's like real big. Like, and like I feel like this is one of those ones you saw in the. But Chris, here's a question that kind of was: where is Laine? What has happened?
Dude, there's so much discussion about Patrick Laine right now. There's like, are the coaches making him just be too defensively responsible? Or does he eat too much macaroni and cheese with ground beef because he lives with his mother? Or
what? Wait, no, time out. More. Mac and cheese with ground beef?
Yes, that's his pregame meal. Macaroni and cheese with ground beef.
Is that what it takes to be an NHL superstar?
That's what he eats. That's what his mother feeds him. I don't know. But
guys, I got to go try this. I'll be right back.
The main – well, no, because he's not playing well. So you want to avoid that. There's also that the everybody is saying that he's playing way too many video games, including Fortnite.
Oh, they're trying to get him back for the Fortnite comments.
No, it's a back though. Like, people have checked out his profile and they see how long he games for and stuff like that. And apparently he's addicted to Fortnite. And amongst
my man needs a new PlayStation account.
Number one, and number two, he's got it. I mean, if he's missing sleep because of it, that's just stupid. Because I think that's what would affect him negatively, is not getting enough sleep. But
yeah.
Because actually, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but a study came out last week about sleep being as effective as performance-enhancing drugs in some cases. I have
no doubt about that. Like, Dalton, I'm sure you can attest to this, being in the same age range as me, that right now we have no sleep.
Mm-hmm. And lots of performance-enhancing drugs, absolutely.
Ah. Yep. but, like, you get one good night's rest and you wake up the next day and you are like, I am invincible.
Oh, so that's what sleep feels like.
Weird. Exactly. So what do you think it's going to take, Chris, to get his kind of his goal scoring touch back on track?
His mojo.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if we knew that, I think if anybody knew that, he'd be out of this slump already. He's just not confident right now. And
I saw on Twitter people were calling to put him with Scheifele.
Well, I mean, why not, right? It's not like the Jets are fighting for a playoff spot. And I wouldn't mind seeing Wheeler and Scheifele be split up anyway. Like, Wheeler and Little obviously were a pair for quite a long time, and they produced very well together. So why not go Little, Wheeler, and Laine Scheifele, you know? I don't see a problem with that. Anything to get him back going again. But the type of plays that he makes that are really frustrating to me, he made one again today where he's in his own zone and the puck comes to him defensively. He's facing towards his own blue line, reaching out and drifting backwards, and he's grabbing at the puck. What do you think is going to happen to him? He's going to get checked, right? Like, that's just a stupid thing to do. You're not putting yourself in a good position, a strong position to protect the puck or make a smart play. But he often finds himself on the wrong side of pucks or the wrong side of plays. He'll try to be on the wrong side of the defenseman pinching down, and he'll try to drag the puck around the defenseman. And of course, the defenseman is extremely skilled at pushing a puck down a wall, right? Like, you're not going to be able to drag that puck around him. Not in the NHL, that's for sure. So there's a lot about the game that I think he's just has to understand that people have figured him out. They know where he's going to go to score, and the other parts of his game are not strong enough yet to compensate.
So you're saying Patrick Laine is kind of a one-trick pony right now, except for everyone know what the pony's name is.
Yeah, at this moment, I honestly think that's what it is. And then his confidence doesn't help either, because now he's doing things like he's in his –
Oh, we were doing so well.
Well, you know, it's been a while since we made everybody take a shot. So
it's very true. It's very true. So Dalton, real quick before he comes back, 5-2 loss to the Sharks last night. How do you feel?
It was horrible. It was hell. I was at a bar watching it.
So yeah, I got chirped a lot. The Oilers went down 3-0 and I turned it off and went to a party.
Ah, smart.
Yep. And then I looked on Twitter and Ty Reddy broke himself.
Wait, Ty Reddy's broken?
Yep, Ty Reddy's broken.
Oh,
sure, why not? So, Chris, while you were gone, we were just summing up the last night's Oilers loss to the Sharks.
But, it didn't take very long.
It did not take very long. But you were saying something about Laine.
I don't know where you what you guys heard till.
We were at that. He's right. The confidence isn't helping, so now he's starting to make plays, and then you cut out.
Oh, just stuff like where he'll be in grade A position to shoot, and he'll pass the puck, that kind of stuff. Or he's missing the net where he usually has not missed the net. He's trying to be too fine. He's got to remember the reason he scores isn't really because he's got a precision shot. He scores because he's got a lethal release. So he's got to remember, like, shoot, don't try to pick the corners. Just get that release off, and you're going to start scoring again.
Yeah. I agree, though. That brings us, now that me and Dalton killed the depressing loss to the Sharks last night, we can do the last game of the week that we actually happened today, so we didn't get predictions on, but the Jets beat the Sabres 3-1 today. And I'm pretty sure Laine had a pretty decent 2-on-1 play today, though, didn't he? Or was that last night?
That was last night. He passed the puck to Little, who scored. It was a great pass.
Yeah. But you guys obviously win, bust out of a small little two-game losing streak there. I didn't catch any of the game today. I'm pretty sure you did. So how did you feel about the game today?
Jets played better. The problem in the last two games for the Jets were that they just were not executing. I honestly do think that there must be an illness going around the team, because either that, I think in Montreal, honestly, between us three and I guess everybody listening, I think they went out and hit the town in Montreal, because to a man, that team looked like hot garbage against the Habs. And like, it was gross. They were terrible.
They got to personal with some French ladies the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
you know what they say about French strip clubs.
Like, that's probably the worst game I've seen the Jets play in 3 years.
Wow.
And then even like against the Senators, I think, you know, if Brossoit would have played like he normally does, I think we would have won that game, but it would have been an ugly game. There was still a lot of turnovers that are not characteristic for the Jets. Neutral zone turnovers, bad passes, you know, guys not taking passes when they should. They were much better today. Much better. Still not where they need to be, but much better.
Yeah, in the highlights that I watched of the Sabres game, of the Jets Sabres game today, they definitely seemed a bit more crisp in their passing. Like they'd gotten a good night's rest.
They took way too many penalties, though. But
All right. Moving on to news of the week. So, first thing I have is Alex Ovechkin becomes the greatest Russian-born point producer of all time, passing Sergei Fedorov for the Russian lead in points.
Another record for Ovechkin.
Another record for Ovechkin, and I think that is it's. I don't think it's going to be beat. I think he's that's his now.
I don't know. I mean, like, you can do a pretty decent argument for Kucherov maybe passing him one day.
Yeah, but Kucherov's, though, he's 26-ish?
Yeah, around there.
And he hasn't really, like, actually started going till he, like, the last 3 years.
I suppose he didn't quite get the same jump start that Ovechkin really had in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Ovechkin blew up in the league with a 100-point season his first season there.
But out of everybody in the NHL right now, who would you expect to be able to beat Ovechkin's record?
Like, the only really, like, really high-scoring Russians you can think of are either Kucherov or Kuznetsov, but I think they started too late.
Yeah, I don't think Kuznetsov's going to get anywhere close. I think Kucherov's really the only guy. There's probably... Was any Russians picked high in the last draft? Well, Svechnikov in this upcoming draft, I guess, or last draft.
Yeah. I mean, Svechnikov, but like, he hasn't really blown up. I think Ovechkin also got a huge boost from just like the time he was playing in, you know? Mm. Like when he came onto the scene, like the people coming into the league now they have such like a like right goal scoring is at such a like low like it's at like such a premium to get. So like Svechnikov might put up 50 points in a season, and we all might be like, wow, but Ovechkin blew up onto the scene and he was sitting at 100 points his first season, and like he did that like every other season after that.
Yeah. Also, Ovechkin's a very, very, very special player, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm feeling it's just his. Chris, you got any words for Alex Ovechkin?
Not really.
Not like you mean.
I don't know. I never really. I mean, I admire his talent, but I never really cared for him as a player. He was just so one-dimensional for most of his career, and that's, I think, why the Caps could never win a cup. I just think all he cared about was scoring his goals. And, you know, we've seen through history that there's been certain players who've been like that. They've been able to score goals, but they've really not, you know, are you a net positive for your team if you're doing things like cheating, if you're not back-checking, if you're not doing the other things you need to do? And I feel like Ovechkin got his, you know, scored so many goals, but at the same time, like when they needed him to do something else, he wasn't there to do it. So I think he figured it out later on in his career, and that's why they won the cup. Finally, won the cup is because if you see the latest rendition of like Alex Ovechkin, it's a way more complete player.
I think it's a pretty complete take there. I think I agree with you, Chris. That's a good one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone's seen all the articles and stuff, but like when before he won the cup and all that stuff, like he wasn't a good leader and he was selfish and held the puck too long, took too many shots, didn't back check. And then, you know, he kind of pulled it all together, which is kind of, it's been a cool, like, you know, little character development, a little character arc for Ovechkin to kind of come full circle.
Cause it would have been really easy for Ovechkin to just keep his entire career, keep doing that, right?
Keep hammering home one timers, put up 100 points and never win anything. But I think I think those first like couple seasons, right? Like he was in the NHL and he had such a like thirst for points and scoring goals that like nothing else really mattered to him. And then like once he won all the awards and right, he won his eighth Rocket Richard and all that. He was like, you know what? I have everything now. We got to win the cup. And like he kind of realized what it took to get that, and he did it, which was cool to see. All right, so then next thing, we have a trade earlier in the week. The Nashville Predators acquire Brian Boyle in exchange for a 2019 second round pick from the New Jersey Devils. So New Jersey's out of it, obviously, so they're selling. Why do we feel that the Predators, who I would say have already a very good team, go out and acquire how old is he?
He's a
34-year-old who has 19 points in 47 games with the Devils this season.
Well, I mean, like, there's obviously the he's been there before kind of aspect in there. He's, at the very least, a great depth piece for them. You know, a center that can win faceoffs is always at a premium as well.
Yeah.
He's a great penalty killer, too, which is another good thing that they're picking up. And it's relatively cheap at only a second for him, too, so...
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that this is the last year of his. I mean, he's just been signing 1 year deals now. Oh no, he's got 1 year. He's got. This would be his last year of his deal.
Okay.
So yeah, do you think Brian Boyle retires after this season, guys?
Nah, he's got a lot left in the tank still.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
You don't think he retires, Chris? You think he keeps going?
No way. No.
He's still got legs under him, eh? So there's no reason he can't keep on playing.
Yeah. All right, so now here's a huge one. Austin Matthews signs a contract extension. The Toronto Maple Leafs lock up Austin Matthews for $11.5 million over
the next... Oh, come on. You got to say it right, man.
What?
11.634.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 11.634 for 5 years. How do we feel about this?
I feel like Chris is going to rant about how Tavares screwed them again.
Well, you know, I mean, he did. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I think now the Leafs fans I think for like almost the first time for a lot of them, have begun to see that there's a very real chance that Matthews might just walk in free agency.
Well, so that's a very real possibility. But then also, what about signing Mitch Marner?
So hold on a second. Stop for just a second. So what is this? So his 5-year deal, does that take him – how many UFA years does that buy? Any?
It buys one.
That's
one.
That's the stupidest fucking deal I've ever heard. So basically you're paying all of his premium years and then you're going to let him command even more money. You're not buying any of his years. That's so stupid.
And he's going to get so paid.
Oh, my God. That's so dumb.
So do you So I have a couple questions for you guys. First thing, do they re-sign Marner, or do we see an offer sheet potentially?
I really want to see an offer sheet.
He's going to get offer sheeted. And the Leafs are going to have to match offer sheet, and then they're going to lose somebody else. Who are they going to lose? They're going to have to lose Jake Gardner. They're going to have to lose Nylander. They're going to have to do something because they're going to be nowhere near the cap.
Here's an idea.
They should go back in time and not sign Jonathan Tavares. That's what they should do.
Yeah. I mean, also with signing Tavares, other than his contract hit, Mitch Marner is on pace for like his career year in points because he's been feeding John Tavares, which has been just shooting his value like already through the roof.
I could very realistically see Marner signing a 10-year or a 10 mil 5-year deal or something like that, right? Because yeah, he's showing that he's like almost the same kind of player that Matthews is, or at least
if he appears to be that. If not more, dude. Like, to be honest, like the more and more I see, like Mitch Marner is like, okay, Matthews has that unreal release and he's got some good hands, but Mitch Marner is just so good. Like, yeah. Honestly, like I'm starting to think Marner is better than Matthews.
I think that's a little bit of a hot take just because I think offensively Marner is a better player than Matthews, more gifted, but I think Matthews beats him two-way all every day.
Yeah, but I think that just has to do with physical build.
Helps it very well bit. Might, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter if you're physically 6'4" or 5'1". If you, it's matter what you do on the ice, right?
Yeah, you're telling me. All right, so there's another one.
Bikers.
So then my last question is, does Matthew re-sign with the Leafs at the end of his 5-year deal? Dalton, what do you think?
I think he probably does, I think Toronto is going to do everything in their freaking power to give him a max deal if he wants it.
Chris, my last question about the Austin Matthews subject was, do you think Matthews re-signs with the Leafs at the end of his 5 years?
Oh, my God. I don't think there's any way to even predict that. I mean, like, so many things could happen. Are the Leafs still going to be contenders? Are they going to have to deal with a lot of bad roster decisions and end up with a shell of the team they should be, right? Like,
it's so hard to predict because, hell, Matthews at that point could have broken his arm 17 times.
Right. He could be garbage. You don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, two more things. So, first off, the Philadelphia Flyers have now earned a point after today in 10 straight, at least a point in 10 straight games. Carter Hart becomes the second youngest goalie to win 7 games in a row. And it wasn't very long ago, boys, that we were talking about the absolute and utter collapse of the Flyers, and now they are roaring back into it with on the back of Carter Hart. How do we feel about Philadelphia's explosion on the scene? We can just run through it real quick. How do we feel?
I hate the Flyers. It's not fair. I want a Vezina caliber goalie to pop up from nowhere.
I think they've had a really gritty performance.
Oh my god.
Just leave it.
But actually, I guess we're not getting Wayne Simmonds now, right? Is that what the deal is?
Well, I actually read an article this morning that the Philadelphia Flyers now have decided to be patient with him.
Mm. Well, of course they have, because they could probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I've talked about it before. the goaltenders are one of my favorite positions, and I love just goaltender stories. It doesn't really matter what team. If there's like a young goalie that blows up on the scene, I love watching that or whatever. And so just watching Carter Hart play, like, his absolute mind out is honestly awesome to see. And he's a hell of a goalie too.
He's good.
Yeah, he's real good. And then last topic comes out today that the Anaheim Ducks have fired Randy Carlyle, and Bob Murray, the GM, has put himself in as interim head coach.
Now finally!
So now we can cue everyone. We can laugh at the Ducks. how do you feel about this move?
If they take away the last playoff spot from the Oilers, though.
I think I might be laughing because – I'm still laughing at how bad the Oilers are. It's funny. It's so funny.
Dalton says through tears.
He sounded very aggressive. It's so funny.
Yeah, I was like about to punch my wall, man. It was getting pretty bad. But I have my nice, calm, relaxing tea here, so we're all good to go.
There you go. There you go. Listen, Dalton, the real reason we have this podcast is it's a support group for us.
Ah. It lets it vent. It's a good idea.
Yeah, really get out. Like, Oilers lost that game to Chicago, and I, like, threw my phone at my bed. I was like, God damn it. Like, I saw Kajula score. I almost punted my phone through my wall.
Yeah, that game was just... No, I don't want to talk about that game anymore.
Move on.
Kajula back to the scored. Ducks.
Yeah.
Shut up, Chris.
Kajula scored for the Hawks?
Yeah, Kajula scored to make it rhyme, too.
Oh, that hurts.
I take so much pain.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So one quick thing about the Ducks, boys, that I think you'll find humorous. Do you know who is the front runner right now to become the next head coach of the Anaheim Ducks?
Is it Randy Carlyle and a fake mustache?
That's a good guess, but no. Chris, any idea? Any guess?
I'm going to say it's Mac T. Either of them.
You are all have very good guesses, but the front runner for the Anaheim Ducks head coach position is one Dallas Eakins.
Ooh, good old Dallas Eakins.
Yeah, Dallas Eakins is the head coach of the San Diego Gulls, the AHL affiliate of the Ducks, and they're doing pretty well this season, and he is apparently the front runner for the next head coaching job of the Anaheim Ducks, Dallas Eakins. He's going to make Getzlaf run triathlons.
Well, I guess we get to see whether it was Dallas Eakins' coaching style that didn't work for the Oilers, or if it was just the horrible roster that the Oilers put together season after season that didn't work for the Oilers.
I wouldn't love to see it, but if Dallas Eakins comes in and coaches them to a playoff spot.
Yeah, kind of like sort of related. The Oilers farm team, the Bakersfield Condors,
yes,
just won 12 straight.
They have looked really well. And Dalton, obviously not the same caliber as Carter Hart, but Shane Starrett has looked quite good.
Can he please be the same caliber as Carter Hart?
I sure hope so. All right, boys, let's jump to predictions. We actually have only four games this week, so it will take some time, and Chris, you should get out of here on time.
I'm leaving right now. You might hear some noises, but I'm still here.
All right, perfect. First game of the week is the New York Rangers playing in Winnipeg against Winnipeg on Tuesday. Chris, how do you feel about that game?
I feel like the Jets are back on the winning track. I think that Patrick Laine scores a hat trick, and it's 4-1 Jets.
Ooh, spicy.
Laine Hattie.
That is a hot take right now.
4-1 win. Dalton, what do you think?
I agree with Chris. I think the Jets are back in that win column over and over again, but this is going to be a little bit of a closer one. 3-1, we'll say.
3-1 win. I'm going to say a 6-2 Jets win.
Oh,
all right.
Smashing.
Next game of the week. The Oilers are on a road trip now. They are playing in Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Dalton, how do you feel about this game?
I either think the Oilers are going to win 3-1 or lose 7-0.
All right. So which one are you picking? Which one are you picking?
Well, obviously the Oilers are going to win 3-1.
All right, another 3-1 win for Dalton. Chris, how do you feel about this one?
I think that the Oilers are going to win 3-2 in a shootout.
3-2
shootout win. All right. And
I think that Drake Kujula is going to score the overtime winner.
I don't know how that's even physically possible, but go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm crying.
I'm banning Chris from the podcast.
Yeah.
I deserve it.
I'm going to say the Oilers are going to, because I can't bet against them. Though I will say, shout out to my dad for calling me after the Sharks loss that night and telling me that the season's over.
I mean, my dad's been preaching that for a long time.
But yeah. I'm going to say the Oilers are going to win 4-3 in regulation.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, then next game of the week, Colorado visits Winnipeg as well. Big divisional game. Chris is out of here. I'm going to say that the Colorado Avalanche are going to lose this game. It's going to be a 5-3 win.
Well, I mean, there's where I'm going to disagree with you, Michael.
Oh.
I think Colorado is going to win, and because I've said it for the last two, it's going to be 3-1.
All right, a 3-1 loss for the Jets. See, I think you're only saying that because Chris is gone now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was scared he was going to bully me, but now he can't.
So exactly. We need Chris's freaking prediction here, buddy.
All right, I'll be Chris for a second. You can't see it, but I put on a fake mustache, I swear.
Okay. What do you got?
The Patrick Laine Jets. Don Cherry, 6-0 victory for the Jets.
Wow, Chris, what a hot take. What a hot take you have.
It's because they weren't dumping and chasing enough.
Yep, that is probably it. So 6-0. Wait, watch that happen in Chris's point.
I'll be so mad.
All right, Dalton, last game of the week is the Oilers play in Carolina on Friday.
I gotta say, Oilers are gonna win 3-1.
What? Yeah. I feel like I'm seeing a theme here. Do you want to put on the Chris mustache again?
Yeah. One sec. Oh, yeah, I gotta grab it again. All right. Oh, that dog of my the Oilers are gonna lose 2-1.
A 2-1 loss. All right. I'm gonna say the Oilers beat Carolina. How bad did they beat us last time?
I don't know, dude.
We're going to win 7-4.
There is so many losses. I can't keep track.
7-4 win.
Yeah.
So that is it. Chris is not coming back. He is off to hockey. He hates all of you and doesn't want to talk to anyone. But real quick, Dalton, little pat on the back. I sent the message to the group chat, but thanks to all the listeners, we have officially made one whole dollar on the podcast. Oh, and I appreciate everyone listening.
Are you going to, like, frame that on your wall or something?
Well, it's all virtual Bitcoin, so...
Wait, is it in Bitcoin?
No, it's not in Bitcoin.
Okay. I was going to say, man, that could be, like, $1,000 tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's a penny again.
Yeah. No, it's actually just one virtual dollar. I just have to withdraw it, and then it would put 75 cents in my bank account.
Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like mailing you a Canadian dollar so you can frame it, like, you know, symbolically.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My dad actually suggested that you're the one that pulls it out so you can pay all the Canadian tax on it.
Oh, smart. I don't pay taxes, though.
All right, everyone. That is it for episode 16 of South of the Blue Line. I'm
Wait. First, who's your favorite player who wore number 16?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Favorite player to wear number 16. See, all right, so here's the problem. I forgot that we were doing this, and I actually had one lined up. So, 16 NHL numbers. I need to see best players to wear number 16. Best players to wear number 16. Actually, hang on. Here's my question. Jujhar Khaira is number 16.
Oh, that was going to be mine.
Jujhar Khaira. I don't even have to look it up. Jujhar Khaira is my favorite player to wear number 16.
He is also my favorite player, and I hate that you stole it.
Sorry, buddy.
It's all right. We'll just agree about something. It's cool.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, boys. That is it for episode 16 of South of the Blue Line. Quick shout out to the Steinbrenner hockey team, my old team. They are actually tonight they are playing for the state championship.
Oh, look at them go.
Yeah, so if they win, we will definitely get Kyle back on to tell us about the whole playoff run.
Yeah, give us a blow by blow. Let's go. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. So that is it. We will see everyone next week. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South, at SoundCloud, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. We are there. I am Michael. That is Dalton.
I'm Dalton.
Yeah, Chris is out playing hockey, and we will see you all next week. See you, boys.
See ya.